Yeah. Oh, look, I did it. Every week. I am so amazed at myself. All right, here we are live on Rock to Recovery Radio. You guys don't know at home what this is like because we switch over shows really fast and we got Instagram and Facebook videos and this and that and the lighting and the hoochamajig. Anyhow, I'm your host. I gotta take a deep breath. This is Rock to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Wes Gear. We are on KX93.5 FM, Laguna's only FM. We got like 97 phones and cameras going on here. Laguna's only FM. This is Human Crafted Radio. And we want to thank the station. This is totally a nonprofit radio station. So it's you listeners at home and the donations you make that make the show possible. And I want to thank KX93.5 FM for giving me a chance to do this radio show. So why are we here? I'm a guy who's sober and somehow didn't die from deadly addiction, I mean bad, and essentially mental health issues as well. And what happens for a lot of us when we get into this world of recovery as we do, you start wanting to help other people because you're like, you know how bad it is. And then you get on the other side and you're like, I want to help you out. And it's kind of, and it also makes your recovery in your life better, right? Helping others. So we all know somebody that's been touched by addiction or mental health issues or eating disorders or whatever, a wounded veteran. And we interview those people and show how they made it through those difficult times to not just limp out and survive, but thrive and get into the vortex of radness. So this week, I'm very excited about our guest. I am very excited, really excited. I had to adjust the camera there. I'm very excited about our guest. I met her because I went to my first ballet. And it was the Nutcracker at Pantages, right? Pantages.
It was the Dolby.
It was Dolby?
Dolby Theater.
Okay, what do I know?
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm glad that you remember. So this is so cool because we've done a lot of band guys, you know, and we want to change it up. So this woman, who I will tell you who it is in a second, is an Italian ballet dancer. You are principal dancer with the LA Ballet. You were principal dancer with Boston and La Scala Theater Ballet, which mm-hmm. that sounds Italian.
Yes.
Italian. You could tell by your accent she might be Italian.
I might be.
And also at Bavarian State Ballet.
That was my first year there, so I was just like a dancer.
Yeah, you're just getting started. Yeah. They didn't know you're going to take over the joint. Yeah. And you were a company member of the Mariinsky Ballet.
Mm, yeah, a trainee. Yeah.
Trainee. Sorry. That's impressive. So with no further ado, welcome to Rock to Recovery Radio, Petra Conti.
Petra Conti. Yes.
Yeah,
hi, guys. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah. I'm so happy you're here.
Sorry for my Italian accent.
No, we love it. It's great.
Yeah.
I think the world would all agree that there's some accents that are not so pleasant, and yours is really nice.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
There's some accents. Like, we have them here in America. There's some accents where you're just like, no. Like, you know, the car, the radiator broke in my car. Like, that's not pleasant.
Yeah.
But Petro Conti, that sounds good.
Oh, you pronounce it very nice.
I practiced all night. All night I was practicing. So, yeah, we're going to get into your story, and I'm very interested in about what it takes it to become a ballet dancer. I know it's wow.
It's super hard, guys.
Super hard, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's extreme workload. It's physical work. It's mental work. It's
a lot of mental.
A lot of mental. It's mostly mental, and then it becomes also physical.
Yeah.
It starts with the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what people don't know about your story is that you battled cancer.
Yeah.
And beat it, kicked its butt.
Yes.
We can't cuss on here. What do you use the A word? But you kicked cancer's...
Yeah.
And that's amazing. So how we met is I went with a girl I was dating at the time, and we saw your performance, my first ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an artist, so I thought, okay, I'll check out the ballet. And my brain said it'll probably be boring. And I was like, holy moly, wow, it was incredible. The production, the story, and seeing you and the physical feats you pull up there. And I would imagine that there's probably a lot of guys, I'm sure there's plenty that have seen ballet and are cool with it, but there's probably a lot more would be like, ah, that sounds boring. I would never go.
Exactly.
It was incredible. Like, just the precision, and I don't know. To me, it was just as incredible as watching like a, more incredible than watching like a big guy dunk the basketball. We get all excited over that. That's kind of like caveman, right? Yeah. Throw it in the hole.
I mean,
but this is beauty and precision and getting the body to do stuff that it really isn't meant to do.
Yeah.
Right?
We practice our whole lives to become like that. Because first of all, let's say that ballet is not natural, okay? So we start from a parallel feet position and we turn
position?
A parallel.
Parallel feet position, right.
Yes.
So your heels are touching.
So from here, we start to turning it out. So we have the andior, so it means, which means the turnout position where the heels touch and the feet are completely like turn. How do you say it? I don't know. That's the basic of ballet.
That's the beginning.
Yeah, from the turnout position you start.
It's like how you would draw a duck in a cartoon.
Yes, exactly. Like, and you open. Yeah. So the hips open, the knees open. It's like a completely different change of structure. So that's why we have to start when we are 10 or even sooner sometimes, because it changes our body completely.
And who had that idea? Let's just, you know what I mean?
I mean, it started back in France.
Yeah.
With the king, the sun, king, Red Soleil, how do you call it? Like the sun.
Red sun?
With the king, the French king, the sun king.
Yeah, du soleil of
the
sun.
Yes, so he started in his court, they started like creating some dances, and then it became more and more. Before it was just for entertainment between acts of like opera or singing, and somehow slowly it became like an art on its own.
Yeah,
but if you think about it, we dance since the beginning of time.
Sure,
dancing is just like music.
Yeah,
it's the expression of our human emotions, of the feelings that we have. And And since, you know, the man cave, the expression, you know, to the gratitude or the anger or whatever feeling we have, we always express it through dance. You imagine a kid dances and he doesn't know it. It just naturally comes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say that dancers, like true dancers, are... And through artists are just kids that didn't grow up, that still have this, you know, this freshness and craziness of like being a
child.
Yeah. So
that, I totally get that, because a lot of people will talk about musicians and how we seem so young.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if it's that we're immature that we still play music
probably,
in our 40s.
Probably. I mean, that's what happens also for us dancers, you know. We are immature, we are crazy, we are, like, I guess, like, every artist, there is a musician, you know, painter or dancer or whatever. We are just still, like, kids inside, and we are fresh, our minds are open and creative, and that's what we are, basically.
But do you think it keeps us young also? And so we're immature, and we do arts, and it keeps us young.
And that's why we are young, and I feel... that's also our bodies. Probably because, like, of course, we are, especially us, that we are dancers. So our bodies move so much that usually they say that we look younger than what we look. Mm-hmm. But inside, I can tell you that we are much, much older than we look, because our bodies are, like, broken inside.
I could see that. Yeah. I mean, well, we'll get into that. Dancers, especially ballet dancers.
Ballet dancers. Yeah. I mean, every kind of dance. But, like, ballet is specifically made to really destroy your body.
Made to destroy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a trick. It was
a trick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about, like, it keeps you young.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the expression of it all. And when I talk about Rocked Recovery a lot, when we go to get Rocked Recovery, we get non-musicians to play music.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, well, musical. No. It's like, well, you are. It's in your body. Mm-hmm. And so what I always explain, you use the caveman thing. I always tell them, when did music start? It wasn't like Bruno Mars fell from the skies and just,
no.
It was like probably cavemen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or man cave.
Man cave.
Yeah. And it was very simple. And they were probably beating on logs and dancing around.
And dancing and singing and doing music.
And here's what happens is if you took like a little kid and if you just watch them, they'll dance going down the supermarket aisle.
Yeah.
Or if you give them a little piano,
they'll play.
Because they just want to express.
Natural. It's natural.
And I was actually hanging out with Robert, the bass player from Stone Temple Pilots, mm-hmm. yesterday. And we were talking about that very thing because kids, we were watching this little kid just wiggle down. He was like five, just doing this all over. Awesome. And we were saying, where does that go? At what point does that stop?
I feel like society stops us a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's
judgment.
The judgment, the rules, and yeah. And I'm glad that we actually have the arts that keep us doing, you know, what we were doing when we were kids.
Totally. And that's kind of like we deal a lot with addiction on here and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people, what I always try to do with Rocked Recovery is show them that, see, that playful spirit you have that feels so dead from drugs or alcohol, it's still there.
It's
that
still
little
there.
5-year-old kid.
It's all still there.
Right?
Yeah. And I tell you, it's the best part of ourselves, you know, to find that inner child. And it's still there somewhere.
It is, right? Mm-hmm. When we get through all the layers of adulthood and hurt and pain or whatever we've been trained to think.
Yes. Yeah. So... Wow.
We're getting deep.
Yeah.
So tell me where your mom was Polish.
Yes.
And then your dad was Italian.
Uh-huh.
And they had sex.
And then I came into the world.
Okay, we
Hello.
Got that.
So, yeah, they had sex in Poland.
They did? Okay. So are you a Polish citizen?
No, I'm an Italian citizen.
So you're born in Italy.
Yes, I was born in Italy because my father got my mom to move to Italy.
Yeah.
And my mom actually was a dancer.
The guys always get the girl to move.
Of course.
Yeah.
So my mom and my sister from a previous father also was a ballerina. So I'm kind of the third one in the family doing ballet.
What level did they do ballet, this mom
and sister? So my sister, unfortunately, she had a bad spine injury when she was 18. Yeah.
From dancing?
From dancing. She was paralyzed for 1 year.
Oh.
But finally, she got back to it because she had very strong muscles in the back. So thankfully, that helped her recover.
How did she injure herself? Dance?
Doing an entrelacé, it's called.
Okay.
It's a jump with kicking both legs back and she falls down.
So you're jumping in there and your legs go behind
split,
you?
Yeah, it's like a scissor butt back. Yeah,
whoa.
Yeah, it's
and she fell
and
on her
she
spine.
Fell on the year of her diploma, so it means on the last year, so before getting the degree, ballet degree.
Yeah.
She fell, she was 1 year off, and then she got ballet and she actually got her degree all by herself because all of the, you know, school friends, they of course they graduated.
Yeah.
And she just did everything by herself 1 year later.
That's cool.
And I remember I was a kid because we have 11 years of, you know, difference between us. And I remember I was a kid and she was there taking her degree, you know, strong, in pain, but she did it. And then she quit ballet after that.
How did you feel? Yeah. How did you feel watching that as a kid? Did it inspire you?
That was very inspiring. And I felt like that was part of, like, ballet, it's part of my family. Like, I also, like, used to see my mom doing splits sometimes at home just to stretch and or
good morning honey
good morning. Split that was it. I mean, that was very natural, and I thought that in every family something like this happens, you know, that like mom puts Chopin music on and we just like dance a little bit like more classical, in a classical way, you know.
That's so cool. Like, so for me, I'm getting a visual like this, you know, Italian family, mom's doing splits, Chopin is playing. I love Chopin in the background.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope at home everybody's getting a visual of that. Yeah. And I'm glad your sister's okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So I was drawing parallels with American football.
Oh.
Because even though it's brutal and hitting, there's sometimes there's some grace in there of the movement and whatever.
Yes.
And I think people, when they see ballet, they certainly would see the grace, but I think they forget how brutal,
how hard it is to make, for you to see that we are just flying, you know, yeah. to make it seem that it's easy.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we have to look super light, especially girls, you know, they have to get lifted by men. So uh-huh. we need to look like feathers. Our jumps or, you know, our turns should be like, you know, easy peasy.
Easy peasy, yeah.
Should look like nothing. We shouldn't be seeing that effort, you know, that's right. like breathing. That also, it's hard to control the breathing because
right, you never see a ballet dancer panting.
They're like, yeah. just like lying on the floor. We do that, but backstage,
off stage.
Yes, off yeah. stage, you yeah. don't see that. You yeah. don't get to see that.
So yeah. mom's doing ballet,
yeah,
and then your sister gets injured, and yeah. you're just feeling like this is a normal kind of part of life.
Yes, I feel like that's the normal. That's everyone's life is like this. That yeah. in everyone's family, like there's ballet,
yeah,
and that everyone gets like good ballet feet. I didn't know that I had ballerina's feet until I went to ballet school,
that's
ballet
a thing?
Academy. So that's a thing, you know, to have
oh.
the super high arch.
Oh.
That's like a very specific thing for a ballerina.
Really?
And it's very, you know, if a kid has that, you know, it's already like, oh, you gotta be a ballerina.
Oh.
You know?
It's they like say probably, that about guitar fingers.
Exactly. Guitar yeah. fingers or piano fingers. Yeah, yeah, that's the same thing. So luckily I had those ballerina feet, but I didn't even know that I had them until I went to
Your
ballet
school.
Your mom
didn't tell you?
No, because they had ballet feet too, ballerina feet. So I thought it's like everyone has
Everybody
them.
Has ballet feet, yeah.
So, and then I ended up in the ballet academy exam and all the other kids around, they were like, oh my God, your feet are amazing.
Really?
And I was like, what is that? I didn't wow. even know what they were talking about, you know. But these now my feet are kind of like a big deal on the social media.
Really?
Yes. So I
and that probably gets creepy too.
Yes, that's get a lot of creepy comments and like followers. But I mean,
is there like an Instagram account called Petra's Feet?
No, but maybe soon. I don't know.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Guys will ruin everything. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
It's okay.
I apologize
okay.
on behalf of all males of society.
It's okay.
Okay, so did you want to be a dancer or is this
yeah,
like...
I guess it was a vocation. I would say it was a vocation.
Meaning you wanted it to be a job?
Yeah, and you know, like every vocation, you have some ups and downs. And I tried, even my parents didn't want me to become a ballerina. You know, they tried
didn't.
When I was 10, they put me to do tennis, to do piano. I was great at tennis. I was bad at piano. But at one point I was like, Mom, you know that I want to do that. Please, like, let me try.
Did they want you to do piano or tennis as a career or just to do it as a pastime?
Just to try something else besides ballet because they thought that maybe they're influencing me. And I was like, no, I really need to be a ballerina. That's inside me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's so cool. I started previously in a like very small school across my home, my family home in Frosinone. That's where I lived
and
in
how
Italy.
How old were you then?
I was 10.
10.
And the teacher.
What's the age they usually start ballet?
So I would say this is a big advice from Petra Conti, guys.
Okay.
Don't start too soon. Don't put your kids into ballet when they're 5.
Really?
Because their body and their you know brain are not ready.
Gotcha.
To get that discipline that
yeah.
you need to start having once you start ballet, you know?
Okay.
You have to be at least 9, 10 to really start doing ballet.
Okay. You heard it from Petra Conti.
Yes, Petra Conti.
Ballet tips.
So you can start with rhythm, just gymnastics or, you know,
okay.
whatever you want to do to make your child look like, you
yeah.
know, have the splits already and,
yeah.
and stuff. But actual ballet is very hard. So you need to be kind of grown up to start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't be a kid.
Yeah. So you were about 10 years old.
I was 10 years old. I started in this school across my home. And it was pretty bad. The teacher wasn't at all nice with me. And she would put me to do like man roles. I did with her just, I think, 6 months.
What's a man role?
Like, you know, for example, in Nutcracker, you... I don't know if you saw. No, it's another version, but there's like in Nutcracker, there's this Chinese dance, and there's like a male Chinese and a female Chinese dancing. And so she would put me doing the man role.
Oh, why? And was she mad at you?
She was kind of mean. I don't know why. I mean, I hope she's not listening to that.
Maybe she needs to hear.
Maybe she doesn't know English, I hope.
What's her name?
No, let's not say that.
Somebody
email
this.
Anyways, the problem was that I was like, Mom, I don't really like this. And she wasn't really like a big help. And I was like, I need to start to go to a professional academy like you did, Mom, and like you did, sister.
At 10, you were advocating.
Yes, I was already like a big grown up.
That's cool.
And so...
And your parents were together?
They were together. They're still together. And
wow, that never happens.
Yeah, I'm super lucky. Okay, so I say to my teacher, oh, I'm going to try and do the exam for the professional ballet academy. And she's like, oh my God, you're never going to get there. You're terrible. You need at least 2 more years with me here in this school in order to start and do something bigger.
Why are there so many messages out there like that? Who are these dream killers?
You know, I think it's because, you know, all...
She was sick.
She was... I think it's just to keep people, you know, get money in.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
totally.
The one student more is like one more, you know, extra money.
Yeah, so, she needed to buy some wine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But of course, I didn't listen to her, and I went to on and did my exam. And of course, at the exam, like, all, like, they were in love with me right away.
Oh, they were? Yes. They saw your feet?
They saw my feet. They saw my underwear, which means the turnout that I told you before.
I thought you said underwear.
Underwear. Because
underwear.
So
ballet, your turnout, the
yes,
duck feet.
Yes, turnout like this. Let's show it.
Yeah,
show
the duck
it to
feet.
Yes, exactly. Duck feet.
I'm sorry.
No, it's great because at least the people like they don't see us on radio. They can like realize what's an underwear position. Why I talk in French? Because ballet is in French.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Rock to Recovery Radio. Everybody's learning things here.
Yes.
This is great.
This
you
is
can
a
go
ballet class.
Take a date and be like, yeah. Oh, start in France. You didn't know that? Where have you been? Come on. Yeah. We're cultured here.
Yes.
We're cultured.
And yeah, so they saw my underwear, they saw my my possibilities, I guess, and my body, and yeah, they
wanted you.
I went in and I had to.
Were you so excited?
Oh, I was excited, but my dad wasn't, because
why?
From Frosinone, so which is a city 1 hour and something from Rome, I moved, and at 11 years old I became like a big Petra. So I moved to Rome to a college, Sisters College, and I...
Like a girls' school?
Like, you know, the prayer sisters. You
oh,
know,
a how do like you say? Like a Catholic
school? Catholic college, Catholic. Not school. College, where I would sleep. It's like a place where you go and sleep for 6-7 days, and then you just come back. Like my dad would pick me up the weekend and bring me home and then drive me back the next day.
Wow. And this, wait, you went to that school because of ballet?
Because the academy was in Rome.
Mm-hmm. So you went to the school so you could be by the academy?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So
wow.
I started my my journey at the academy, and it was 8 years of academy there. I was there for 8 years.
8 years.
So because ballet, you
and
get...
And is this a prestigious academy?
So it's a National Ballet Academy in Rome, Italian. That's the only one there is. And yeah, I stayed there for 8 years because you get a degree only after 8 years of school, of ballet school.
Okay, is this like a ballet degree you get?
Yes, yeah. you get a degree like as a ballerina.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're what, 18, 19 at the
so
time?
So I was... Yeah, right. I was just 19, yeah. And then I decided that's not enough.
Okay.
I wanted to study more and, you know, improve even more. And what's the best place to improve? It's in Russia. Russia has the best, you know, ballerinas and like it's cool. It's history, you know, Russia.
Yeah.
So I had the privilege and the big opportunity to go to, as you said, you mentioned before, to the Mariinsky Theater as a trainee. So for 1 year, I stayed in St. Petersburg.
That's why you're with the Bavarian state.
No, that's Mariinsky. Mariinsky is in St. Petersburg. Bavarian state. Bavarian is in München. It's in Germany.
München.
München. Yes.
München, which is Munich for Germany. In Germany, for you guys that don't know, they don't call it Munich. They call it München.
München. Yeah.
I mean, it probably doesn't sound like that, but.
So I went to Russia and I learned Russian. Okay, wow. When I was 19, I was all by myself again.
You learned to speak Russian?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
See, that's a thing that we don't do in America. We're like, we maybe could say taco or burrito, and that's the only other language we know.
Yeah, I learned Russian, so you have to know, of
course. That's a hard language.
I knew, of course, Italian and Polish, so that was already easier for me to learn another language, so I learned Russian.
Wow.
Of course, I was by myself in Russia. What do you have to do? You have 18. To learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, I can't believe you did all this. All right, listen, I got to throw in a song here.
Yeah, sorry, yeah,
I'm talking so much. I love it. I'm so in this. I don't even want to throw in a song.
Let's do it.
But I have to do it.
Yes.
So the reality is that we didn't get your songs in time.
It's fine.
And our Greg DJ helped us out. So
Thank you, Greg.
Listeners at home, guess what song we're going to play right now?
Of course.
Let's see. Captain Obvious, the DJ here. So we're sitting here on Rock to Recovery Radio with Petra Conti, preemie ballerina from all around the world. she's currently the principal dancer at LA Ballet.
Yes.
Telling her about her story into ballet. And we're going to get into how you were diagnosed with cancer and beat cancer's butt and all that kind of stuff. So this is Rock to Recovery Radio. And if I hit the right buttons, I can never remember. If I hit the right buttons, we're going to be right back in just a moment. This is, guess who this is? You'll know in a second. Where is it? There we go.
Do to make you care? What do I do when lightning strikes me and awake to find that you're not there? What do I do to make you want me? What have I gotta do to be heard? What do I say when it's all over? Sorry seems to be the hardest word. It's sad, so sad, with the sad, sad situation. Sorry.
So sad. So very sad. Don't you feel like you're in Poland right now?
Yes, a little bit.
That music?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's a beautiful song. All right. This is Rock to Recovery Radio on KX93.5 FM. I'm your host, Wes Geer. And we're here with super wonderful, awesome, vivacious, talented preemie ballerina Petra Conti, telling us her story about how she became a ballerina. And eventually we'll get to it. And she was diagnosed with cancer and kicked its butt. And that's one of the things we connected on when we met, when I came to see you dance, because I just, you know, I struggle with addiction and you think that's bad. And then I think to get that diagnosis, it's got to be just, got to be a tough one. Yeah. So in your story, we were talking about how at a young age you just felt, and I can relate to this, called to be a ballerina.
Yeah.
And so you went to
The National Ballet Academy in Rome.
Thank you.
Yes.
my brain was shutting down.
Then I had an extra year of as a trainee at the Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg.
You were in Rome and we were there for 8 years,
for
got your
years,
degree.
Yes.
And now at that age, do some people, like what age do people start getting gigs, jobs?
Yes. Probably 18 is a good time to start to find a professional job in a company.
Yeah.
So I have to admit, I already worked as a guest artist a little bit in Italy around that time.
Yeah.
But I wanted, I wanted to be better, become a better dancer and learn more.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed another year.
That's insightful of you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a key to success, is knowing that you need to work more, not being too full of yourself.
Exactly.
And I think the great people always, even like if you look at, to use basketball reference, even a Michael Jordan is still working better.
Oh, yeah. We work all day, every day. And what I always say, it's like you never arrive in ballet, especially.
Yeah.
You never arrive because perfection doesn't exist. You know,
it's
so you always get to the point when you are almost excellent.
Almost excellent.
But, you know, never enough.
Wow.
So
you went from... excuse me, you went from Italy
to Russia,
and then
St. Petersburg for 1 year. Then I moved to Germany.
Now, did they freak out on your feet there? Like, here she is, it's Petra Conti.
I mean, it's not.
I heard about her feet. I heard about that too.
I'm not the only ballerina that has good feet, but
Now, do ballerinas go around looking at each other's feet?
Yes,
and then
that's
probably
a thing.
It's a thing, right?
Yes.
So they probably make fun of some people's feet, like, your feet are no good.
So we call it like biscuits.
Biscuits?
If it's not good, they're biscuits.
No. So, nice to meet you, Svetlana. She'll never make it. She has biscuit feet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's so true. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hashtag ballerina problem. Yeah, that's so us.
You're funny. All right. So how were you starting to get notoriety? Did you stick out? Were you at the bottom of your class, the top? Like, where were you in the world? Like, it's super competitive, I imagine.
So now, you mean?
No, then when you're in Russia.
I mean, when I was in Russia.
That must have been scary.
When I was in Russia, I was just the last, you would say, the cleaner of the toilet. Like,
really?
Basically, you know, I was just, just learning from the best. And
yeah.
It was just an extra thing that gave me the possibility to be there, because it was at that time it was really shut down to everyone, like every outsider, you know.
Wow.
So I had the privilege to be there and take classes with them, watch every show. So and they really have show every day.
Basically. Wow,
it's amazing. And then also get to be taught by Elvira Tarasova, which was one of the greatest teachers in St. Petersburg, and she was giving me rehearsals every day, you know, after the big people, after the big names. I would see Petra Conti, you know, in the schedule, at from 9 to 11 at night, you know, after everybody else.
You were the closer.
Yes, I was the closer usually. And I would get my rehearsals. And I mean, that's why I'm here today, I guess, because I really wanted to learn from the best. And I
that's
always
cool.
do. I'm never satisfied with myself.
Now, how was your emotional state? Was there a lot of tears, like, I'm not gonna make it, I'm not good enough? How where were you at? Where okay, were you feeling? Were I you have, like, I know I'm great, or what?
No, I have to admit, I was very insecure before my all my story. I when I was Petra Conti 1.0, I was different. Now I'm Petra Conti 2.0.
2.0. So, maybe you're 3.0 now.
I don't know. But the 2.0 is right after the surgery. So the new Petra Conti is so much better than the other one. The other one, the one before, was so scared of everything. Very, mean to myself. I was very, demanding, but in a hard way. So yeah. I was never happy. I was, I hated my image, always trying to make it better, but never happy with what I was. And so maybe that was a good thing, because after Germany, it brought me to Italy, to La Scala Theater, which is the biggest theater in Italy. And the famous one.
So you went St. Pete to Germany.
Germany, and then back to my Italy.
Okay, but wait, now I got to pause on this. I want to really get into this thing where you were beating yourself up.
Yeah.
Is this just in your head? How was your relationships? Like, did you... was it just on the inside, or was it really affecting like your whole life, kind of, like, you know what I mean?
I was very insecure. I thought that I'm the worst. I would compare myself to others, and I would always see myself as the last one.
And really?
Yeah.
And I could see that in Russia, because you were kind of outsider.
Yeah.
But were other people saying to you?
I mean, other people, like, for example, in Rome, my academy, I, of course, got my degree with the best, votes, like the best.
Votes?
The best numbers.
Rating?
Best rating, yeah. Okay. I got, like, best rating ever.
Ever,
like,
ever?
Ever, ever in
so
history.
So you were, really?
In the history of, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we didn't leave that out.
So that's fine.
So but check this out. So you got the best rating,
yes,
graduating than anybody ever got, and still you're beating yourself
up. And still I wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't enough. And also maybe because I had so many people saying that, don't think that you're whatever you think you are. You know, I had a lot of people
haters,
and that would like be jealous about who I was becoming. And so probably because of that, I was trying to, even more find what's wrong with me. And I don't know. Try to get better. And
did you have some good friends and supporters?
I had good friends. I have so good friends. They are the same, basically. Mm. You know, you say that good friends are forever. You know, they stick with you in the best and the worst and best times, you know. Mm-hmm. So I had that, and but maybe also this thing that I wanted to always be better, improve, that's what brought me to become a principal dancer at the age of 23.
Wow.
Which is especially in Europe, it's kind of soon, and it's a super young age to become a principal dancer.
So what does principal dancer mean?
So there is you want to put this here? Oh, yes, thank you. Oh yes, we are fixing my Instagram live. or wherever you wanna put it. Yeah, thank you.
I'm afraid if I hit a button.
Okay. Oh wow! Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so the principal dancer means the captain of the team.
Okay.
And
does it mean you get the best parts?
I get the principal roles.
Okay.
I get, of course, better pay,
yeah.
But I am responsible for the whole show.
Oh my gosh.
And I am an example for every other dancer, so I have to be at my top every day.
Be on time. Everything you do is
everything,
under scrutiny.
You know, so they.
That's a lot of pressure for a 23-year-old.
Uh-huh.
At 23, I think I don't even want to think about it.
Exactly, and it was like a big principal dancer at La Scala. It's a big thing.
And you seem so lighthearted too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it almost doesn't seem to go
Yeah,
together.
I know. And that was, I think that's the hardest part, to still, like, try to be a nice person, like, that's who I am. I'm a very, easygoing,
rigid. You're not rigid.
Yeah,
you're not stuck up.
I don't feel, like, better than anybody else. Mm. And still, you have to be the principal dancers. You have to be a prima ballerina. You have to be the star, not only of the show, but you have to somehow give the image of that you are like the, you know, the top.
The leader.
The leader.
Yeah. Creme de la creme.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And every day, that's the problem. Every day, wow. Not only at the showtime. Every day when you're so tired that you want to cry, that you can barely work, you know, you have to show that you still are the prima ballerina. So
give us an example of like when you want to quit. Do you remember a time you wanted to quit?
Yeah, you want to quit when you are in such a big pain that you
How often does this happen?
Ooh, I mean, for me, it didn't happen as many times, luckily. Especially when you want to quit when you injured yourself and you don't see that it's like that you're getting better soon, anytime soon. So you're like, everybody is going forward and I am back, you know, I'm going backwards and I don't see, and the recovery process is so long for a band, for a ballerina to come back in shape. It takes months.
Wow.
So yeah, that's probably the hardest part. And
one injury and your career could be over.
Yes.
All the work done.
Exactly. All the years of sweat, tears, blood.
That must be in the back of your head.
Yes.
Like being
so
kind of scared.
I kind of knew it since day one. You know, every dancer knows this. That's, you know, you can be the best or you can, you know, try, you know, years and years. And if with one day, it can be all over. Yeah. So that's a thing we sign basically at the beginning.
It's
like we don't sign it, but you know, it's like a contract that you do with yourself, with your future.
Well put, Wow. So you're a preemie ballerina at 23
in Italy, in Milan. And I get this fun part to say I got promoted prima ballerina on stage at the Bolshoi Theater in Russia when we were touring with La Scala.
You got promoted
on stage
in Russia.
Yes.
Wow.
So it was kind of nice. And the fun part is I was promoted on stage together.
Did you know it was coming?
No.
They surprised
Absolutely
you?
Absolutely not.
Oh, you're crying for sure.
I was promoted on stage together with my soon-to-be husband.
Oh, that's cool.
I was promoted 2 seconds before him because they first said my name. Okay.
Were you guys engaged at this time?
Yes, we were.
His name is
Eris Neža. Eris Neža. You know him?
Yes, we met.
Yes.
Yeah, really nice guy.
Yeah, we came also to your, you know, to your show, and
he was in the Nutcracker with you.
He was in the Nutcracker. He's always dancing with me. So
that's cool.
Yeah. And so, what I was saying. Yeah, we got promoted together.
Wow.
So, and soon after that, I can tell you the day, we got promoted on the 21st of December 2011. And on the 30th of December, that same month, he asked me to become his wife.
So that was a good month for
that
you.
That was an awesome ending of the year. December 2011.
December.
So a good ending of the year. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then we got married in 2013, and that's also a big year for us because we decided that, you know, in Italy you get a role, a position for a lifetime. So we became a principal dancers until pension. So we would be principals until, you know, 45, 50, almost 50
years. Well,
what
if you can't dance anymore? I mean, or what if you, like, gain 100 pounds?
You kind of still, like, you cannot gain 100 pounds because you're a principal dancer. So they would, like, undermine you, like, you know, I change your position.
Yeah.
So you have to still keep the level. But, you know, that was the problem in Italy or in Europe. The mentality is that you do ballet until you're like, you're going on to pension, you know.
So how what's the average retirement age?
So
for
the average retirement age is 47.
That's old.
Yes.
I wouldn't even think that.
Yes. That's what we thought. We were thinking about. We don't want to dance until we're 47. It's going to be sad. And that's what. Yes. And that's what we feel like. We felt our colleagues that are getting older, they were so kind of depressed and like looking sad and also envious, you know, envying us.
At the young talent.
At the young talent. And I was like, I don't want to be here for the next, like, 30 years of my life and wait for my, you know...
Pension.
Let's try something else because we got to the top of our, you know, whatever we were there. So we were like, okay, what's the next level? We need to step up.
Yeah.
So we challenged ourselves. We moved to America. Just the two of us. They still think that we are crazy.
And what year was that?
That was 2013. Yeah.
All right.
And we moved to Boston.
That's cool. That's where my mom's from. Yes. Yeah. And I live there too. So when did you get the cancer diagnosis?
In Boston. Yeah. In Boston. So we, it was.
Were you not feeling well?
Yeah, I can tell you that I started to feel some nausea, dizziness for a couple of months. And I had some blood in my urine. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sometimes.
You should hear what people say on this show with the drug addicts. It's much worse than blood in urine, trust me.
I think this is a good thing to say so that people, if you guys notice anything like that, please go check yourself right away. Please do that.
So
because it's a sign. It's a sign that something is wrong with your body.
Right. So you had blood and urine.
Sometimes.
You're like,
yeah.
What, 25?
I was 28.
28.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting nausea and dizzy?
Dizziness, yes.
For how long?
I mean, it was for a couple of months, yes. And they tried to, you know, I was in Boston. They tried to diagnose me because they thought maybe it's like some vertigo stuff or some I was anxious because of the shows, you know. But I mean, I used to dance all my life, so it couldn't be that bad, you know, going to a performance.
Yeah. Well, plus you're too young for a typical cancer kind of thing.
Exactly. So I can tell you, my type of cancer usually it comes to old men that drink, that smoke, and that they're obese.
Oh, man.
That's really me. That's so Petricon. And actually, what they found that my type of cancer, it's an unclassified type of renal carcinoma. So yeah, actually, I'm helping the science, you know, because it's still not classified.
That's so nice of you. Yeah, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Petra Conti.
Yes.
Helping, you know.
Helping the future.
So how did they figure it out?
So I had back pain for a long time. And so I thought, and I was sure that it was a herniation. Mm-hmm. And that was, in fact, a herniation. But I was like, come on, can we please do an MRI to see if I really have this herniation?
Mm-hmm.
And they checked it at Boston in a hospital, and they say, yeah, you have this herniation, blah, 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 but you also have something on your kidney and you should check it right away.
Wow.
So I went to my primary care doctor, and basically not even in the next month, I was doing surgery. Yeah.
Wow. So what was it like? They did x-ray?
They did MRA and they did extra testing of all kinds.
And they came back and you're sitting there and they said what?
And the doctor, my surgeon was like, there's a good chance that if we take this tumor out, you're going to have a good life and long life. And your chance of survivals are very high if we...
Did he come in and say you have cancer?
This is a.
How did that feel to hear that?
You know, I am like this. Everything I like bad, every bad news.
Yeah.
I need one day to process it, and the next day I'm fine.
Really?
So in next day I was already okay. You know, I had my a couple hours of that day that were bad.
Were you freaking out?
You know what you think? You're 28. And you go to this hospital usually to give birth, not to like remove the cancer, you know, at this age. And especially I was with my husband and I was like, we imagine our lives together, you know, kids to be like to grow old together, to, you know, to create a future for us. And maybe nothing of this is going to happen. So that was the saddest part for me to probably maybe leave my husband and, you know, die without doing all those beautiful things that we imagine. Yeah. So we were making fun of each other. And I was like, Aries, when you're going to die, you're going to, everybody, every girl will, when I'm going to die, every girl will want to go out with you because you're going to be so sexy and, you know, everyone will want you. We're just making fun of this because it's better to laugh about things than, you know, get depressed. And since that day that I discovered that I had cancer, my life changed in a way that I started enjoying every day of my life. And I started loving my body.
Giving it good vibes.
Giving good vibes, you know, appreciating every day. Especially after surgery, you kind of like are a reborn person. It's like you start from scratch again, you know. You wake up from that kind of coma almost that they put you in. And that's your birthday again.
I'm glad you had such a great, bright energy about it. I feel like I would still be scared.
I know. A lot of people still write me and like ask me help and how did I...
I bet.
So I had a lot of faith and I had love. I think those two, love and faith, kept me going.
I love it. So let's... I love it. Thank you for sharing. I'm going to throw in this next little song here. They make us play music here. It's a radio station. The nerve of them.
Yeah.
So this is KX93.5 FM, Rock to Recovery Radio. We're here with the amazing, beautiful, wonderful, vivacious Petra Conti.
Thank you.
About her journey to become a preemie ballerina and now fighting through cancer. Let's see. What's this next song? Well, you guys are just going to have to figure out. But... anyhow, this is KX935 FM. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, dance, baby, dance. So this is Rock to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Wes Gear, KX93.5 FM. We're here with the amazing, just wonderful, I just love your energy. I love it when you laugh. You have such a bright laugh. So she's telling her story of becoming a preemie ballerina and how you got diagnosed with cancer and fought through it. And you were saying that what was it, love and
faith.
And faith got you through?
Got me through, yes.
You guys had a lot of humor about it. You had, I can't say his name.
Eris.
Yeah,
Eris. It's like Eros, but with E, Eris.
Eris. Yeah. Oh, I thought there was a D in there.
No.
All right, well, I'll screw that up. One day I'll get it. And so he supported you through it.
Yeah, I guess my husband was the one that really supported me the most because my parents, they were like, oh, they had the worst time of their lives.
Dealing with it.
Yes, my father didn't go out of the home, like didn't leave home for like a month. And
wow.
He was like, yeah, they were so depressed. And
you're like, you're not helping
and
me here.
Exactly. I was like, I cannot even be sick. I cannot have like cancer in peace. And I have to deal with you guys that are so worried about me. Yeah.
It's no wonder that your body lived. And I love how you said you were giving your body a lot of love.
Yes, yes.
And I believe that love gets in our cells and everything. Because they're all living organisms.
Yes,
all of them. awesome.
And it, like, whatever you imagine, you and you say to yourself, it happens. You know, mm-hmm. you kind of, your thoughts create, you know, the energy for you to mm-hmm. go. So if you have bad thoughts, negative thoughts, that's gonna for sure, you know, interfere with your healing process, with your energy.
Yeah. Was there ever a dark day where you're just like, oh God?
You know, probably, you know, it was a dark day when I thought that maybe I'm not gonna dance anymore.
Yeah.
So that was the issue. I don't know what I'm gonna do. If I'm ever gonna be healed, what's gonna happen next? Mm-hmm. So that was my biggest, you know, fear. But I said, let's take one day at a time. Let's enjoy every day. Let's have fun every day and be grateful for who I am today, for where I'm at and what I'm doing now. And let's see what happens. You know, I went to surgery and I was happy. You know, it might not go well. Whoever knows what's gonna happen. Until now, I'm kind of happy with what I did and where I'm at. And let's take every day, you know, by day, you know.
And you were back dancing how fast?
I was back dancing. Yeah, I kind of forced myself to try again and become like start again as a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was painful, I can tell you. And for lots of months, I couldn't, you know, lift anything, you know, even a glass of water. So imagine doing pas de deux and stuff. So my abs were completely gone. My ballerina body was not a ballerina body anymore. So I had to work so hard to get back, and it took me 1 year to come back.
And at that point, you maybe aren't even going to be like a principal dancer
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly.
And
I
then
was
you
like,
led
yeah.
Nutcracker.
I left Boston.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is my new life, and I'm gonna be dancing all over, all around the world. I don't want to like be for now in a company. I want to just enjoy whatever I have.
Incredible.
So I became a guest artist, and I was invited in Los Angeles to perform as a guest principal dancer with Los Angeles Ballet, and that's where you met me.
That's where I met you. And yes. You just crushed it. You're amazing. Then you told me I got over cancer. I'm like, what?
Yes, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
You have this beautiful initiative of like helping people that are going through stuff like that through music, through rock, and I am trying to help, you know, people with cancer go through, you know, everything they need to go through with the help of selling my ponchos. For now, this is my foundation. I started this foundation. I sell all of my ponchos. The old ones.
Got you.
To my fans, and the money goes to...
How can they find you?
On my website, www.petraconti.com.
Petraconti.com. So that's
P-E-T-R-A-C-O-N-T-I.
Yes. And now finally...
Oh, finally. That's the best part.
Yeah. And we're going to come.
Yes, please come.
You made your own show.
Yes. I made my very first Petraconti show here in Los Angeles, downtown LA, Zipper Concert Hall. May 18th.
What concert hall?
Zipper concert
Zebra?
Hall. Zipper.
Zipper.
Zipper, sorry.
No, that's okay. It's me,
Zipper.
Not you.
Zipper,
Zipper concert hall. It's called...
I'm Gonna Live Forever.
And you are. I'm Gonna Live Forever. Yeah. And you choreographed and created this whole show?
So I have the help of different choreographers. But the good part is, the best part is that we have live orchestra on stage. And even singers and
wow.
music player, music solos. There will be different dances, and I will be in all of them. It's like 10 ballet pieces. And Daniel Sack and Dream Orchestra conducting and like playing.
So if you're in L.A., Zipper Theater, May 18th,
May
I'll
18th.
Be there.
Please
My
come.
Team's coming.
I know. You
Recovery
have the
team.
Tickets. You have the tickets.
I told them today, yeah, we're coming. Come see this amazing woman, Petraconti. Thank you so much
thank
for
you
coming.
So much.
You're such an incredible person.
Thank you.
Thank you for
you.
Sharing your...
I hope we can do something together.
We're going
we
to do
have
it.
To.
We have
to
do it.
Yes, for the others.
We got to do it.
We need to.
It'll be so cool. All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning thank in. You. This has been Rock to Recovery Radio on KX93.5 FM. I'm your host, Wes Geer. I think what you heard today is don't give up. You can get through anything with faith and love. Just ask somebody to give you a little support. And we are out of here.